Attorney General John Larkin is under fire as controversy continues from the opening of Northern Ireland's first private abortion clinic 4 years ago. Before he became Attorney General, Mr. Larkin likened abortion to shooting a baby in the head. Well, he's now offering to play a key role in an Assembly Committee inquiry on the new clinic run by Mary Stopes International. The Ulster Unionist Party, the SDLP, Sinn Féin, have criticised Mr. Larkin over those past comments, with questions also being asked about his proposed Assembly inquiry role. The DUP, though, they've defended his remarks made in a 2008 interview on Radio Ulster's Sunday Sequence. Let's just hear what he said in 2008.
In relation to disability, that's also very simple. I think what has to be prepared, if one is prepared to contemplate the destruction of a highly disabled, unborn child in the womb, one should also be prepared to contemplate, I think, the putting a bullet in the back of the head of the child 2 days after it's born.
Well, the SLP's Colin McDevitt listening to that this morning. Morning to you, Colin.
Morning, Sian.
Good morning to you. And the Ulster Unionist Party leader, Mike Nesbitt. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. John Larkin is entitled to his opinion, isn't he?
Oh, he is. He absolutely is. And he's made it abundantly clear where he stands in terms of the moral issue. But he is now the chief legal advisor to the Northern Ireland Executive. And you have to make a distinction between those two things. And I was somewhat disturbed, I think, when he made his letter of offer to the Justice Committee. To embed himself in their inquiry into the Mary Stopes Clinic to the extent where he was actually offering to conduct interviews with witnesses on the committee's behalf. I mean, first of all, that's the job of the MLAs. And there is, I think, implicit in that a criticism or perhaps a suggestion that this is something the MLAs weren't up to, that they didn't have the competence to conduct those interviews. And I would be deeply uncomfortable with that. And secondly, there has to be a separation between the law and politics. So how does he turn around and say to the Assembly or to an Assembly committee, I think he may have overstepped the mark here, when he has embedded himself into the process? So when you look at the moral position he's taking and his new role as Attorney General, which is purely as a legal advisor, primarily to the Northern Ireland Executive, I think on balance it would be best if he withdrew that letter of offer to the committee.
Well, there are two different issues here, Mike, aren't there? One, what he has said, and then his offer to help the Assembly Committee inquiry. In terms of what he has said, he's likened abortion to shooting a baby in the head. Where do you stand on abortion?
Well, he believed that abortion should be avoided wherever possible, and I think actually we've got the law pretty much right. In Northern Ireland, where there are circumstances in which abortion is legal and should be available to a mother. But we do not believe that there's any need to change the law. We also understand this clinic, they say they're going to operate within the existing legal framework. And if that's true, then they have every right to set up the clinic. But we, of course, have every right to make sure that they do what they say and operate within the law.
Do you agree with John Larkin when he likens abortion to shooting a baby?
No, I think the two are actually materially different. But you know,
why?
Because he was talking about something, Stephen, that we would not support, and that is aborting with a couple of days to go before birth. What we're talking about is establishing the very early stages of a pregnancy, that there are specific issues, particularly with regard to the health and well-being of the mother. And that's a very separate thing from saying we're going to wait until, you know, 8 months, 3 weeks and 5 days have passed before we take any action.
Colin, I'll come to you in just a second. The DUP's Paul Given with us this morning. Morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Stephen.
You're chair of the Justice Committee. What do you make of what John Larkin has said? By the way, I apologise for my voice this morning. I've got the cold.
That's no problem, Stephen. I think it's important that we look at this in a very clear mind. And over the weekend, people have been, in my view, distracting from the core issue because of John Larkin's position as Attorney General. Ultimately, as a committee, we all agreed, unanimously agreed, that it would be important that we would scrutinise how the Mary Stopes Clinic is going to comply with the law. And indeed, in an urgent question that I asked the Minister, David Ford, what role the criminal justice agencies would have in this, his very first response was that the primary compliance rests with the Mary Stopes Clinic to ensure that they comply with the law. So quite rightly, the committee has decided that we will examine that. John Larkin has obviously written to the committee, believing the committee has a role to do in that, and we're now examining how best we can proceed on that basis.
Why do you need John Larkin to help?
Well, I think John Larkin...
Why can't you do it yourselves?
Well, John Larkin has indicated that he has a non-statutory role in terms of being the guardian of the rule of law, and he is the most senior law officer in that respect within Northern Ireland, and if we are able to harness his skills in this regard, then that's something the committee should look at. John Larkin has appeared before the Justice Committee on quite a number of occasions and has advised the committee on quite a number of occasions already. This isn't setting a precedent in that respect, but I think it's important that we make sure that in examining and scrutinising the Mary Stopes Clinic in terms of how it is going to comply with the law, that we establish that on a very sound basis. And that is what the committee agreed, that we would task officials in conjunction with the Attorney General's office to come to the committee and advise us how best we can proceed.
Colin McDevitt?
Well, one of the things I'm very unclear about is the capacity in which John Larkin wrote this letter, because the First Minister, speaking on the BBC on Thursday night on The View programme, said that he believed John Larkin was writing in a personal capacity and not as Attorney General. Now, if he was writing in a personal capacity, well, then remarks he made as a private citizen are relevant. And I think Mike Nesbitt has a very important point to make there. They could be seen by many as highly prejudicial to his ability to conduct himself as a legal advisor to the Assembly. But that matter hasn't been cleared up, nor has it been cleared up why he took it upon himself to write to the Justice Committee. Was he invited by a clerk in the committee? Was he invited by an officer, the chair, the deputy chair? Or did he just take it upon himself to do this? And if that...
Paul Given, can you shed any light on that?
John Larkin sent a letter to the Justice Committee. It is for then the committee decide how we proceed. John Larkin cannot instruct the committee. He cannot dictate to the committee as to what we should or should not do.
Was he asked by anyone on the committee to send the letter?
Not that I'm aware of. And we received the letter, and we will examine whether or not we should then proceed on the basis that he has outlined, or, as the committee agreed, tasked officials to, in conjunction with the Attorney General's office, best advise us how we can scrutinise this clinic. But again, this is all a distraction from the core issue, and maybe it suits some people to distract from the core issue, and that is how this clinic is going to comply with the law. Ultimately, that is something all of the parties on the committee are agreed upon, that we need to scrutinise how this organisation is going to comply with the law.
Do you think the guidelines will be published that have been promised since, 2004?
Well, that takes me beyond my remit. Obviously, I have made it clear that the committee can only look at the legal position. We have a very clear legal position in Northern Ireland in terms of our law on this.
Is it clear? You've got the Royal College of Midwives saying it's anything but clear, about the guidelines need to be published. We've got a DUP health minister now who can publish the guidelines. Edwin Poots, where are they?
Well, that is something that the Department of Health are having to work through. But again, I go back
what,
to...
What, for 8 years?
Well, again, the guidance is merely to give guidance to people as to how they can carry out their job. The law is very clear on this, and I have spoken with senior police officers in this respect as well, that if they receive a complaint that the law may have been broken in this clinic, that they will investigate. And I have been given that assurance that they would investigate this as thoroughly as they would any other type of crime.
So if the law is crystal clear, if a lady walks into that clinic and says, look, I'm going to be long-term psychologically disturbed because I've been raped and I'm carrying the rapist's baby, is that lady entitled to an abortion within the law or not?
Well, the law, the position on that is clear, and indeed I listened to Sinn Féin's President Gerry Adams this morning, and that position would be the same as mine, that it is only where the mother's life is in grave danger and where the long-term mental health of that mother is in grave danger, then under those circumstances there is a defence for carrying out an abortion in Northern Ireland.
And in the example I've just given you?
And if in that example that meets that criteria where the mother's life is in grave danger, well then yes, that would comply, as I understand, with the law in Northern Ireland.
Do you agree, Paul, with what John Larkin has said, when he likens abortion to shooting a baby in the head?
Well, I think you need to put this in the context of what was said. And I'm not here to defend John Larkin, but my reading of what was said was that if you carry out an abortion of a child that was due to be born imminently, then that would be akin to killing a child had it been born for 2 days. And within the clear guidance of our law, that is exactly the case.
Do you agree with him, with what he said?
That would be an illegal abortion.
Would you liken it to shooting a baby in the head?
If you were to abort a child that was imminently due to give birth, well, then under the law, that would be killing that child. Now, I'm not going to use the same language that John Larkin has used in this, but what is very clear under the law, if you aborted a child that was due to be imminently born, then that would be exactly the same as having killed a child that had been born 2 days. So, you know, within the law, that's very clear. That would be killing a child.
Colin McDevitt, do you agree with the language John Larkin has used?
No, I don't agree with the language that John Larkin has used. I think anyone who used polarising language in this debate, no matter how strongly they may feel, whether they're pro-life as I would be or pro-choice as others would be, anyone who uses polarising and confrontational and aggressive language like that are undermining the strength of their own argument. And so I think it was deeply unwise of John Larkin as a Queen's Counsel, as a senior lawyer, as he was then, to have used that language. And I think he should reflect on that. I think we also need to know what capacity he wrote this letter in, because is it, as the First Minister understands and said on the BBC, that he wrote it as a private citizen, or did he write it as Attorney General? And now my party is very keen that we uphold the office of Attorney General. It's a very important office. We have a lot of respect for John Larkin as a lawyer. He's a very eminent, very fine lawyer. But if any advice is going to be given to the Assembly, and I think to some extent the committee chairman has articulated the importance of the committee's role in this regard, and the gaps in the law, and there are many gaps in guidance, as you've rightly pointed out, Stephen, gaps that, when, to be fair to previous health ministers, they attempted to plug, they were judicially reviewed on both sides of the argument. And therefore, and sorry to take this on a next step, this is an important point to make, because if a minister were to bring forward new guidance, and I hope the minister does, there's a good chance that will be challenged in the courts, and it will be the Attorney General's job to defend the executive in the courts. So you have to ask yourself whether it would be appropriate for the Attorney General to be involved in an inquiry whenever ultimately he might constitutionally have to defend the executive's decision, for example, to introduce new guidance, as I'm sure all of us believe the Minister for Health should.
Can I just ask you, Mike Nesbitt, would you force women to carry babies full term, even if the babies have no chance of living when born?
I would not, Stephen. And I think the law makes clear that in the early stages, where you identify specific issues, then abortion is an option that should be made available to the mother. But this is taken away, Stephen, from the issue that we were asked on to comment on, which is the Attorney General. And I have to say, I'm absolutely no clearer than I was when we started this discussion about what motivated the Attorney General to write that letter. And that, to me, is absolutely key, because his day job, as it were, is to be chief legal advisor to the Northern Ireland executive, not the Assembly or its committees, but to the executive. He chose to write a letter to one of the Assembly committees. Now, he has a right to do that, I believe, under his non-statutory role of guardian of the rule of law. But there is a question about what would motivate you, what motivated him to send that letter. And it's in that context that this interview from 2008 is interesting. It has to colour and perhaps even cloud our judgment on why he chose to write that letter. And I think what we need is clarity from him. And it would be useful, I believe.
Well, Stephen, if I can comment on that, I think Mike's comments calling into question the Attorney General's position on that is very unhelpful and indeed unfair.
I'm only asking him to clarify his motivation in writing the letter, Paul. I'm not calling into question his position.
Well, because the fact is, if we had an Attorney General that was pro-choice, if you can ever term it in that sense, it is irrespective what the Attorney General's individual views on this may be, whether you're in favour of giving abortions in Northern Ireland or against, because the law in Northern Ireland is very clearly pro-life, and therefore the Attorney General's view is neither here nor there. The Attorney General has a duty as the guardian of the rule of law, and Northern Ireland's law is very clear on that. And I think,
would you be happy then, Paul, to allow him to conduct interviews on your behalf and on behalf of your committee members?
Well, I think that's a different aspect, and it's an interesting one, and I think it's important that that obviously is examined. I believe we, as elected members, are quite capable of scrutinising with the support of officials, whoever gives us that particular advice. But again, that's a slight distraction, and obviously this is very difficult and very sensitive territory for politicians to be in. It's a social issue that carries a lot of emotions, and people have very strong feelings on it. And often politicians get accused of ducking the difficult decisions and the difficult issues. And here's something that I think we as a committee are very sensitively trying to scrutinise and ensure that the law in Northern Ireland is going to be upheld. And this is going to be difficult and sensitive, and we'll have to carry out our role in that in a very careful manner.
We're going to leave it there, Paul. Thank you very much indeed. Mike, nice to talk to you. Conal, nice to talk to you as well. Just some clarification. The First Minister actually said that the Attorney General indicated within the letter that any assistance would be in a private capacity.